Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We continue our Lenten journey, and today we focus on a couple major themes of Lent. That is God's call to repentance and his call to take temptation seriously. And a lot of times those words don't sit well with us because they make us feel uncomfortable. They force us to address what should not be going on in our hearts. They force us to evaluate things that we choose to set our hearts on. St. Paul uses similar language to help us benefit from our Lenten journey to take God's call to repentance seriously so that we can enjoy a better relationship with our Savior God, Jesus, who is our rock, who is our strength. So I will walk you through that message this morning as we worship. We'd like to welcome especially our family guests who are visiting with us today and worship guests. We're pleased that we're able to share the good news of Jesus with you today. The order of worship that we'll follow is printed completely in the worship booklet, so if you didn't get one on the way in, you can get the attention of the ushers now to make sure that you are equipped for worship. Our worship begins with our Lenten gathering rite. It begins on page 3 in the worship booklet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with true hearts and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our lessons for this morning walk us through some of the natural consequence of our sin. They also walk us through some very specific judgment that God sent down because of very specific sins. The caution with these lessons is not to try to play God and to get into His head and to start equating things going on in your life with specific judgment of sin. Jesus will help us with that in the gospel for today. The important thing to remember is sin is real in our hearts and in our lives, and God calls us to repent, and He promises to love us and to forgive us and to strengthen us when we do, so that we can set and keep our hearts on Christ. The first lesson is recorded in Numbers chapter 16, when the people rebelled against Moses and against Aaron, they rebelled against the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly, "Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins." So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrances to their tents. Then Moses said, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, and that it was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what usually happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them, with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt."
As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to take the censers out of the smoldering remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy, the censers of the men who sinned at the cost of their lives. Hammer the censers into sheets to overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be a sign to the Israelites." So Eleazar the priest collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned up, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altar, as the Lord directed him through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 130. You will find that psalm and the directions to sing it on the bottom of page 6. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll share some background on the letter as well as some of the references that St. Paul makes as part of the sermon this morning. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This is the word of the Lord.
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man, the Son of Man, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him, may have eternal life, may have eternal life.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13. In this lesson, we have Jesus' encouragement to see the horrible things going on around us as nothing more than the terrible consequences of sinful people living in a sinful world. He does encourage us, however, to see those as calls to repentance, so that when it does come time for us to leave this world, we will be strong and secure in our relationship with our God. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 302.
In the name of the rock who accompanies God's people, in the name of Jesus. I have background noise on in the car when I'm driving into church on Sunday mornings, and rarely do I listen to it until I heard one of the hosts, it was some reality show, one of the hosts said, "Oh, come on, man, Girl Scout cookies, it's Lent." And apparently the guy who was off air offered him a Girl Scout cookie. And he said that part of his Lenten preparation was a diet, and he was trying to give up sweets for Lent. So his buddy said, "Oh, don't worry about it, just run to church this morning." I was thinking about asking you, have you given up anything for Lent this year? You know, I'm not really much of a giver-upper of anything for Lent, so I can't really relate to that, and I don't really have a giving up anything for Lent story to relate to you. But I have heard of some of you who will give up things for Lent. I know that generally speaking, McDonald's does pretty well because people will give up Big Macs for Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for Lent. Although I can't think of anything more repulsive than a Filet-O-Fish sandwich. I've heard of people who give up wine for the season of Lent, or people who give up chocolate for the season of Lent. And sometimes we need to be a little bit careful to think that God will love us more if we do something like this for Him. But overall, I think Lenten preparation is a healthy thing. You give up these things so that you can focus on your relationship with Jesus for this short time. Why am I depriving myself of these things? Well, look at what Jesus gave up for me. And if doing that helps you focus on your relationship with Jesus and how much He loved you and suffered for you and gave up for you, that's a really good thing. Today, St. Paul has an interesting Lenten message for you. And it's, you don't have to give up anything. In fact, he tells you you can eat and drink all you want of this. And no, it is not a license to overindulge in Big Macs or wine or chocolate. It's his reminder of what's really going to help you in your Lenten preparations. He says, eat and drink all you want of Jesus. And there's lots of different reasons for doing that, but I'm going to pull two out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning and share them with you and hopefully help you understand how Paul's Lenten preparations of eating and drinking all you want of Jesus is going to help you this Lent. Paul says, eat and drink all you want of Jesus because temptation is everywhere, and Christ will keep you strong. It's always interesting, the connection that we have with these people. It was just about 2,000 years since Paul wrapped up this letter, and we are reading it today. But we actually have a pretty strong bond with these people because they're not much different from us. They were God's people, His children, truly loved by God, fully forgiven by God. They had received mercy and grace from God. When somebody, maybe it was even Paul, shared the good news with them, that grew in their hearts and God made them His children. Others of them maybe had their children brought into God's family through baptism. God shared grace with them through baptism. They had their faith strengthened when they came to church. They had their faith strengthened when they received Holy Communion. And that grace that God shared with them, it overflowed into their lives because they loved Jesus back for loving Him first. It showed in the way that they went to work, in the way that they lived, that they took time out to go to worship. Yet as strong as these people were, they also struggled with the humanness, or they struggled with their weaknesses, or however you want to talk about it, they struggled with sin and sinfulness in their lives. And St. Paul brings up just a couple of different examples throughout this letter that he wrote to them. For example, they had major divisions in their church. They had these pastor wars. And you could just hear how these must have gone. Boy, if only St. Paul would come back and be our pastor again, then everything would be great. Other people would say, well, you know, Apollos is the only real pastor who ever served us in the first place. Other people would say, man, if only Peter would come and bring our pastor. And then they had other different worship wars too. They struggled in how to prepare for Holy Communion. They struggled in how they should or shouldn't be worshiping. And then they would say things like, well, everybody knows that the Jewish Christians are the only faithful Christians. And then other people would say, well, you know that the Gentile Christians, they're more exciting and they're more vibrant. And then the Greek Christians, they're the only intellectuals anyway. And then they would sue each other frivolously, frequently, instead of working out their differences through the Word of God as brothers and sisters in Christ. They struggled on how to serve the body of Christ with the different gifts that were given to them. St. Paul brings up the idea of speaking in tongues, and people were doing that to serve themselves instead of to serve the body of Christ. There was a lot going on with these people. And they're not that different from us. You know, probably one of the most glaring ones, and this is going to come up in the little list that St. Paul shares with us, is one that he addressed in chapter 5. And it's interesting because of the attitude that came with it. Paul wrote to them, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of such a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud." You know, oh, Paul, you don't have to worry about us. You know, we are so progressive among the Christian church. We can handle this sin. It's not like we're heathens. It's not like we're pagans. It's not like this is even hurting us. This is okay. And because he loved them, and because these are children of God, people that he loved very much, St. Paul wrote them this letter to encourage them to stand firm in their faith. He said, "I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the seas." He gives them a history lesson to help them see, you know what, these sins are just sins that are common to God's people, always have been, always will be. Here's what happens when God's people repent of them. Here's what happens when they don't. "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." Paul is referring to the time when God brought his people out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And God did great things for them, parting the Red Sea. They were baptized in the cloud. The pillar of cloud went before them, baptized in the sea. The sea split open, and they walked across on dry ground. They all ate the spiritual food, manna from heaven. They drank water from rocks. But the greatest thing that supported them, the greatest thing that accompanied them, was Jesus. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. And to have Jesus accompanying them on their trip was going to be very important, because very soon people would start grumbling and complaining against God and Moses. Very soon they would take a look at the Moabite women and say, "We got to go check out the Moabite women." They would rebel against Moses. They would fall into all kinds of sin. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And that's the starting point. The starting point is not, you better watch out, or God is going to get you. God is going to open up the earth and swallow you up. God is going to send his destroying angel and cut all of you down. That's not the point. Paul's point is temptation is everywhere. He doesn't tell them, go dig a hole, climb in, and wait for Jesus to come back. I guess he'd have to come the first time first. But temptation would follow them into the hole, and temptation would get them in the hole. His point is stay strong in Jesus. Temptation is everywhere. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. You remember the golden calf incident? They thought it would be a good idea to make a new god because they thought, well, maybe God isn't coming back. St. Paul says, watch out for idolatry. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. He said we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. That's the reference to the Moabite women. They went, they saw their neighbors. God said, don't go looking into what your neighbors are doing. I am taking you to the promised land. They didn't listen, and they got themselves into all kinds of trouble. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord. They thought they could do better than the Lord. This probably isn't the specific reference, but the reference from the first lesson. They thought, we can go burn incense if we want to. Who's God to tell us that only Aaron and his family can burn incense? we should not test the Lord, as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, right? They thought that they should have better leaders than Moses and Aaron. They thought they should have a better leadership than what God was providing for them. Do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. You know, I think in my mind anyway, these are probably some of the easiest sins to dismiss just as common pulpit talk. And it's like, oh, come on. You know, idolatry, sexual immorality, grumbling, testing the Lord, as if we don't have to struggle with these things anymore because we've been there and that's all that preachers talk about from the pulpit. God's call to you is to take these seriously because it really matters to God. It really matters to God when we have idols, and maybe it's not a golden calf, but it's probably a picture of somebody on a piece of paper, and the more ones and the more zeros behind the number one, the bigger your God is. Or maybe it's a decimal point in one of your accounts, and the more zeros before the decimal point, the better, or whatever it is. And when we are not setting our hearts on God and God alone and loving Him and trusting in Him and looking to Him for everything, what are we setting our hearts on? Or sexual immorality, too. If we are not honoring God in what we do or don't look at, and what we do or don't touch, what we do or don't think about, what are we setting our hearts and minds on? And testing God. God, if you really loved me, you would do this. Or grumbling against God. God, why are you leading me through life in the way that you are? When we are not setting our hearts on loving and trusting God and His guiding and disciplining hand in our lives, what are we setting our hearts and our minds on? You know, the Corinthians weren't shy and short on excuses, were they? Not only did they have some sexual immorality going on, but did you hear what Paul said? They were proud of it. And you can almost hear this talk, right? You know, oh, come on. It's not like we're all moving to Moab and doing what they did back then. You know, this is something we've moved on from there. We can handle this. This is okay, Paul, because look, it's not hurting anyone. It's not hurting us. You know, come on, Pastor. Sexual immorality, that's a young man's sin. You know, or that's a sin that only the guys, only the boys have to worry about that one. Or we don't have to worry about that one anymore because we have all moved on too. We are very modern people and we are very strong Christians and we can handle this one. You know, or idolatry. You know, Pastor harped again about money in my retirement account and I get that. I can handle idolatry. Or grumbling and griping. We're not grumbling and griping. We're not even complaining. We are just voicing our opinion, which is protected by the Constitution, by the way. And we're just advising God, giving God some help. We're just letting Pastor know what he should pray for. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Please don't dismiss this as something Pastor is just harping on. Or something Pastor has to talk about because it's in the lesson for today. Ask Cain what happens when you set your heart on something God tells you not to. He hated his brother. God told him not to. He didn't control that. He didn't master it. Hatred mastered him and he killed his little brother. King Saul tested the Lord. I'll make my own sacrifices. I don't need a priest. I don't need a prophet. I'll do it myself. And he fell away. Try telling King David he didn't have to take sexual immorality seriously. What? I'm just looking at her. Which led to killing her husband, taking her as his wife, and all the problems that that brought into his world. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And you know what? If your little weakness isn't covered today, if whatever it is that you are setting your heart on, and just it shouldn't be there, if St. Paul doesn't talk about it, it probably fits into the same category. These are things that hurt our relationship with God. And the warning is not, you know, a tower is going to fall on you, or some politician is going to come and kill you and spread your blood all over our church, or the angel of death is going to come and get you. You know, those things you could tolerate, those things could happen, and you could still go home to heaven. But what if these temptations grab you and seize you, and Satan uses that to move in, and he sets your heart on sin instead of sets your heart on God? Or what if slowly but surely, generation after generation, he works very slowly in your family, and he leads the next generation away from the Lord? God is not going to dismiss sin and sinfulness in your life as quickly as Satan will, as quickly as the world will. He's not going to listen to your excuse that, hey, we are modern people, or I had a very legitimate concern, God, or it's not like I never trusted in you, God. And if hearing it from me is getting old, listen to what Jesus said. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. He told this parable: a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." God's inspired word to you today through St. Paul, it's pretty stern. And it's very clear. God calls us to repentance, and it is not optional. God warns us, and he says, this is what's going to happen if you fall away from me. Jesus' judgment is very real. He says, I'm patient now. Give it time. I'll take care of them. I'll feed them my word. But if they fall away from me in the end, I'm going to cut them down. There's going to be a judgment. Temptation is everywhere. And the consequences of sin are very real. And Satan knows that, and he uses that. So St. Paul encourages his people and you and me, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. These things are common to man. Are you human today? Is what Paul would have you ask yourself. And if you are, these temptations are common to you. And Satan is working very hard on you. And temptation is going to find you, and there's probably some temptation that you're going looking for. Are you human today? Then God sent his Son for you. Because he knows that you are going to fall. He knows that you're going to fall into temptation, which is why Paul calls Jesus your rock. You know, it's nice to have that rock, someone you can depend on always, someone who will never let you down at any time for anything. Jesus is your rock. When he was in this world, he never budged. I mean, he was tempted. Do you think Jesus never noticed? Do you think Jesus never struggled with idolatry? Satan tried to get him in the wilderness. Do you think Jesus was never tempted by sexual immorality, or was never tempted to revolt against God, or never thought about grumbling? He was tempted every way, just like we are, but he is our rock. And he never sinned once. And he lived that perfect life for you. And then Jesus climbed a rock. He climbed a hill. And he died on a cross to pay for all those times that Satan works his way into our hearts, and he gets us to set our hearts on things that just shouldn't be in there, and he drives a wedge between us and God. Jesus died for those sins, every one of them. Jesus is your rock. St. Paul says, eat and drink as much of Jesus as you want, and probably even more than you think you need. If you think you're standing firm, St. Paul says, go back and eat and drink some more. And Christ will strengthen you to face these temptations, strengthen you if you're being tempted to doubt, assure you that you are God's own, and give you strength to live for your God. God has set your hearts on Christ. So fuel up
on your Savior. So that just as the Corinthians, when you go out into the world and you go out into your lives, you are holding up a banner that says, I am loved by God and I love God back. So that you will get better at facing down your temptations, which are everywhere, and God will make you better at saying no, and God will make you better at setting your heart on God, and God will make you stronger at confessing and repenting and growing in your relationship with God. So if you choose to give up something for Lent, good for you, more power to you. I hope it brings you closer to God as you deny yourself as a remembrance of everything that Jesus denied himself. But don't forget to eat and drink more and more of your Savior Jesus. Because temptation is everywhere, but Christ your rock keeps you strong. We're halfway through. May God bless you in your Lenten journey. May he fine-tune and hone your repentance skills so that you can be closer to your rock, your Savior Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We take a moment in our worship to encourage one another in our faith by confessing our faith together. This morning we have the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 9 in the worship booklet.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather the offering today. If you are our worship guest today, please take one of the connection cards and fill it out. I would be happy to connect with you during the week to get to know you a little bit better. If you are a member of St. Mark's and you have a specific need that you would like to share with one of the pastors, or if you would like us to come see you, please leave us a note on that connection card too, and we'll make sure that that happens. We worship our God with our offerings. The prayer of the church for this morning is the responsive prayer on page 10 in the worship booklet. We have been asked to remember in our prayers Marilyn Zolinardo and her family. Her brother Don Huber was called home to heaven. So we'll ask God to be with the Zolinardo family. Heavenly Father, you love the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love, we are lost.
Lord of the church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cross.
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict in personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord, and in your mercy, be their guardian and friend, their comfort and hope.
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying. Dear Heavenly Father, life and breath and every good blessing comes from you. We thank you for the years that Don Huber had in this life. We thank you for making him your child through holy baptism. May the promise that Don now stands with his Savior be with the Zolinardo family and all his friends and family who are saddened by his loss. We ask that you would comfort them in their sadness, turn their tears to rejoicing, and remind all of us of a blessed reunion in heaven. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 127, a hymn that helps us ponder what Jesus did for us. Number 127.
Thank you.
worship concludes on page 11 with our closing prayers. Please stand.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning. I'd like to echo the thoughts that Pastor Schmitz shared in his welcome this morning. Welcome to all of our guests and visitors. We're delighted that you are with us. We're delighted to have the opportunity to share Jesus with you, and we hope to worship with you again soon. I've got a good amount of information to share this morning. It's not all in the announcement flyer, so if you miss anything and need a replay, you can go onto our website and watch the online service, and it'll all be there for you. I'm not serious. So listen carefully. First, we have an opportunity coming up. We have two choirs that are going to be sharing concerts with us. The California Lutheran High School Worship Band and Handbell Choir will be with us on Friday, March 11th. And then the Martin Luther College Choir will be here on Saturday, March 19th. So an opportunity to hear some excellent Christian music. Those choirs have asked us to host their members the evening of that concert. So Friday night for the California Lutheran High School Choir, Saturday night for the MLC Choir. Hosting a couple of choir members basically involves taking them home with you, maybe giving them a snack in the evening, a good place to sleep, maybe some breakfast the next morning, and then getting them back here to St. Mark's. They really need us to step up and host them. So if you're able to help with this, on the left side of the lobby, there's a couple sign-up forms. Please indicate how many choir members you can host, and we'll make sure we've got a place for those choir members to stay. Somewhat related, our next teen outing will be, our teens will be serving ice cream sundaes after that California Lutheran High School concert on Friday, March 11th, and then they'll be sticking around also for a movie that evening as well. So any questions about that opportunity for the teens, you can direct those to Pastor Schmidt. A few announcements, rapid fire here. Pastor Stray would like you to know that his Sunday evening Bible information class will be meeting at 5 o'clock, not 6 o'clock, and that class will be continuing at 5 o'clock in the weeks to come. We continue to journey through Lent on our way to the cross with Jesus. We continue to have dinner at 5:30 and worship at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings, extra opportunities to meditate on what our Savior did for us on the cross. Northwestern Publishing House has a new promotional choir. You can find this on the left side of the lobby. Some great opportunities here, maybe for gifts with confirmation coming up, Mother's Day and so forth. Pick up a flyer if you're interested. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society would like us to know that the cards that they've prepared for missionaries that they're inviting us to sign and share a word of encouragement, those cards are, again, on the counter in the back, and this will be the last opportunity we have to sign those. So if you haven't done that already, please take that opportunity this morning. Coming up a few Saturdays from now, it's an annual tradition at St. Mark's to have a work day on the Saturday that precedes Palm Sunday. So that'll be Saturday, March 19th. 8 o'clock till noon in the morning. We'll be sharing information in the announcement flyer in the weeks to come, but mark your calendar. We need a lot of willing hands willing to roll up their sleeves and spruce up our church and our campus, not only for Easter worship, but also because we're hosting the Martin Luther College Choir that evening. It'll be a good opportunity for us to put our best foot forward. And then a couple announcements related to our school. First relates to our St. Mark's Soiree school support function. I shared information about this several weeks ago, requesting volunteers to help us seek donations for this. Now the time has come that we're actually going to be offering tickets for people who plan to attend. So this flyer can be found at the school counter in the lobby. First and foremost, this soiree is going to be a fun evening. It's coming up on April 23rd. We're going to have a catered dinner and entertainment provided by Comedy Sports. That's not comedy about sports. That's turning comedy into a game, various comedy-related games. So that's going to be a good time, and of course, the opportunity for fellowship. But the secondary and also an important purpose of the soiree is to support our school and provide funds for some projects that we often don't have funds for in our regular budget. So it's an opportunity to support our school. There is a cost per meal ticket, and then we're also going to have a silent auction that evening, both intended to raise funds for our school. If you're interested in attending, pick up this flyer, and then attach to the flyer a form that you can use to purchase tickets. You can fill this out, get it to the office, and then we'll get those tickets to you prior to the soiree. It's going to be a good time. I invite everybody to come. And then finally, looking ahead at the coming week, we have an opportunity to support our students in our school. Our basketball teams are wrapping up a very successful season. A couple weekends ago, they both went down south to that California Lutheran High School that's going to be here for a concert, and they both won that tournament, so that was a really nice accomplishment for them. The boys wrapped up their season this past week. The girls wrap it up this coming week, and they're going to be playing in our gym a couple of times. So first on Tuesday, we host the league championship game. Our girls are the number one team in their league. They've got a 17-1 record. It's really been a solid season, and now we get the opportunity to wrap it up with this championship game. Tuesday at 3:30, I'd encourage you to attend if you'd like to take in some good basketball, and it's just a really exciting time in our gym. We really make a lot of noise and get a lot of love behind our Lions. And then next weekend, we'll be hosting the big NorCal basketball tournament. Our girls play at 3:30 Friday afternoon, and then what happens on Saturday depends on what they do on Friday afternoon. But I'd like to invite you to those opportunities to support our students. I think that covers it. The last thing I want to say before we leave is, after you're dismissed, join us in the chapel. We'll have some praise song opening with the Sunday school students. Adults are welcome to come. It's a good time, and the students are encouraged by adults being there with them. Mr. Walker is highlighting something for me. One more highlight. If you look at this week at St. Mark's in your worship booklet, there's two mistakes. One is that the school winter performance was held this last Friday, not this coming Friday, so we won't be here Friday evening. What we will be doing Friday evening is playing basketball in the gym. And then secondly, we had a student advance to the Central Valley Spelling Bee, which takes place Wednesday morning. So we're going to move our Wednesday morning chapel service to Thursday. So every once in a while, someone's able to attend that chapel service. Please come on Thursday if you plan to come this week, Thursday at 8:30. Okay, I very much appreciate your time this morning and your attention. On your way out, please greet those with whom you worshiped, and have a great week. Thank you.